podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Deadline Dilemmas ahead of double game week 34. And apologies for those that were just watching and we were just stood there in silence, but we are doing the late shift today.
We're rusty like Trent. Yeah, we're rusty like Trent.
We're really rusty. And yeah, both on red arrows. I almost didn't want to mention that, but...
Dark red arrows, red arrows. Like double rank type red arrows.
Yeah, so we might be desperate in some of our moves this week. I don't know. We've not talked about them yet, but...
I mean, they're not too different. And I think over the discussion, we'll try to talk about the free hitters as well. So so that we're not being too biased on the non-free hitters. But so much to talk about, and the Liverpool game isn't over yet. So we'll keep an eye on that as well.
Yeah, what are we in? We're in about the 80th minute for those watching.
Yeah, 85th minute.
So most of the main players are subbed off.
Which is strange. Should we start with Liverpool?
I think that's going to be a big talking point, isn't it? Especially as we waited for this game so we could go live. So, yeah,
How do you sub off Salah at 60th minute when you're chasing two goals?
I mean, it's strange, isn't it? The fact they've, because one goal and then suddenly you're going to want Salah on the pitch, aren't you? And you
exactly. I just don't understand what's happening with Salah, with what Klopp is doing. Is it the minutes? Oh, my volume is low, they're saying.
Oh, this is exactly what happened last week. I'll be 1 second. I'm going to try something. Okay, I have turned you up full here.
Okay. People in the chat, if this is better, then let us know. If I'm now too loud, then also do let us know. But we're just going to carry on and see if things are okay. So, your thoughts? Yeah, Salah. I mean, we had a lot of interesting lineup changes. Robertson has also come off on the 79th minute for Jadon Dance. I don't know who that guy is. So, both Trent and Robertson getting an early sub. Both Diaz and Salah getting an early sub. Darwin was dropped / rested, whichever way you want to look at it.
It's really put me off. I mean, obviously, like we mentioned, we're doing transfers. We're not on free hit. But it's really put me off buying Liverpool players. Like, I feel like I need to. Because, I mean, you remember weeks ago, we were so hot on them for that double. But obviously, they had two brilliant fixtures. I think Salah was out at the time, so there was a chance that Darwin was on penalties, which, I mean, it turned out he actually was. He just missed one after the double, didn't he? I think that there was a much, much different situation, and that now it's kind of like there's the lure of someone like Eze, for example. Not to go too much into Palace, I'm sure we'll talk about them, but they're a lot more appealing to me than bringing in like a Darwin or a Trent.
Do you think if somebody has, and obviously we'll come to free hitters, so we'll talk about the three best, because I think free hitters will have 3-3-3, right? Arsenal, Liverpool, and Crystal Palace. So I think for the non-free hitters, it's a question of which best three you go for. I think a lot of people have triple Arsenal already because of that Sheffield United or Luton game, whichever one they had recently. So it's a question of, do you triple up on Liverpool over Palace? I was still under the impression that you do. I mean, if you go to the Rob T slide, which is the first one.
Yeah, let's go straight to that. Let's get that on the screen.
Rich, they're still staying. They can't hear me.
Let's have a look.
Do you want to lower yours?
Yeah, okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to lower mine. Okay, can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Perfect. Okay, you can hear me fine. So I've turned mine down now. You're at full volume. I'm sure it's something on my end because this is exactly what happened with Andy last week. So apologies to those listening. If someone can let us know in the chat if it's working, as in, if you speak.
Yep. So I think let's look at Rob T's slide. So the three clear teams that all the free hitters are targeting are basically Liverpool, Arsenal, and Crystal Palace, which makes sense because those are the three teams with the highest expected goals over the double, which is basically three and above, and in Arsenal, Liverpool's case, over 4.5. And also clean sheet odds, easily Arsenal are the highest, followed by Liverpool. And then the third is close between Crystal Palace or Man United or Everton or even Man City. They're all around the 35 to 40% mark.
Yeah, I mean, just with Liverpool, I suppose there are two obvious ones. Like, if I was free hitting, obviously you'd have Salah, whether you captain them or not. I guess we'll come to that. And then, I mean, Van Dijk seems absolutely nailed. Seems like a no-brainer. It's just that third spot. And it's just, I guess if you're using transfers like me, let's say, for example, you've got Zabanye. He seems to be a popular one. I mean, we're not expecting much, although the first game they are playing Villa, who've just played 120 minutes. So
correct.
Maybe we can bump up Bournemouth's clean sheet odds, you know, a little bit. I'm not saying a lot. But
yeah. I mean, I'm not expecting anything from Liverpool. And people are still saying my volume is low. I'm just going to try and speak louder, right? That's the only way, I guess. So, look, I think for Bournemouth, I'm not expecting much. So, for non-free hitters, if you have a keeper in a Neto, I think that's fine because you could still get save points. You have two away games, so you can expect, you know, a couple of save points. Maybe get lucky with a clean sheet. But then who else is a keeper who you can really compete for a clean sheet anyway, especially if you're not going for an Arsenal or a Liverpool keeper? So I think keeper-wise, it's fine. But Zabarni, not very comfortable. And we'll talk about our teams. I think we'd rather bench him than play him. Right?
It was more that if you wanted to do a hit, like as in, say you have Zabarni playing, you're using your transfers, would you want to do a hit for Van Dijk as the second, probably the second best Liverpool player or the second most nailed Liverpool player, if excluding Alisson? Maybe it's more that. I'm just not sold. It doesn't feel like I have to get this player. It feels like it would be nice to have Van Dijk. It just doesn't feel like a proper double game week just because of this, because of the confusion over minutes tonight. And
I mean, and especially if you look at the gaps, right? I mean, we talked about this on The Wire, and I'm sure you did on Scoutcast as well, in terms of they're playing every 2 days. So they've played today, Liverpool. They play on Sunday, they play on Wednesday, and they play on Saturday. It's basically two-day gap game, two-day gap game, two-day gap game. And that's just brutal. And if he can take off Salah when he needs two goals, then I'm not even confident on Salah's minutes. I mean, I think he'll start both games, but I think he's going to get subbed off 70th minute, 75th minute, maybe one game, you know, it's, I don't want to say not a start, but I mean, not 70, 60 minutes, maybe even less. So I don't know. I mean, suddenly all Liverpool attackers seem like bad options.
They do. And I mean, obviously in hindsight, there's going to be one that probably does absolutely brilliant. But obviously with this, you know, foresight, we just don't know.
I mean, they're bad from minutes. Like,
yes,
Salah can score in 120 minutes or 130 minutes. He can score a brace and a goal. So I think what we're trying to predict is minutes. And I think right now, there's nobody who we can say confidently who plays more than 80 minutes a game as an attacker, not even Salah. Do you agree?
No, I fully agree. I fully agree. And that's what's turned my head a little bit on captaincy, because you look at this Rob T graphic and it seems quite obvious you want to captain a Liverpool or an Arsenal player. But yeah, I'm not feeling Salah. I think, let's say it was game week 10 or something. I think I'll just throw it on Salah because that seems like the obvious choice. And then if he doesn't do well, it's just like, oh, everyone's captained him. But because we're so late in the season now, there's that part in the back of my head that thinks, well, if I don't think he's going to get good minutes, can I look elsewhere for the armband? You know, what's the worst that can happen? Like, you know, if I drop from 35K to 60K, it's kind of the same thing, isn't it? It's like, it's kind of the same rank. I mean, I guess in mini leagues, that would be bad. But that would be about it. So it has turned my head a little bit.
Same, yeah. The same. But then I turn around and I think that, you know, it is Salah. He needs one game to score a brace. And, you know, he has pedigree. He still has penalties.
We saw that today.
As we saw today. And he had a couple of other chances. There was one, I don't know if you saw, where he was offside, but he was literally, you know, last man and had a shot at goal. He missed, but he's still there. And I feel like the more people that get tempted to not captain him, that brings me back to thinking, okay, maybe then Salah is my chance to just captain the best pick this week and then go there. Because if you look at the counter to this, is looking at this slide from Rob T, Crystal Palace's goals odds are under three. They're scoring three goals over the double, right?
Yep.
Eze gets one goal, one assist. And then I think that's fair. That's 50% share of returns. No, that's, two out of six. That's a third of the returns. But still, I mean, it's decent. Like, you'd be lucky to get two goals out of Eze out of three if Palace are scoring three, expected to.
Yeah, I guess it's more the fact, isn't it, that you get, I mean, let's say his minutes are good. And obviously, he has had a couple of subs in recent weeks. And I guess he's not been back that long. But let's assume he gets 80 minutes a game. He's going to be there for a good share of that 2.98. Whereas, yeah, if Salah did miss one game, he's obviously going to lose a huge share of that 4.65 that,
well, let's
that Liverpool
not
have.
Scaremonger. I think
no, yeah, but plays, it's the ifs. It's the
plays. He misses 20-25 minutes in both games. Let's take that as a base assumption.
Yeah, but it just evens it out a little bit. As in, Eze's probably going to, yeah, if Eze has better minutes than Salah. I mean, it could just be he has 5 minutes more than Salah, or I could be completely wrong. But in my head, I'm just feeling quite low about Salah. And caveat, I'm slightly on tilt, as in I just want to, you know, I want to go for it, particularly in a week where I'm not free hitting and, you know, other people are. That could be the way to, you know, negate not having a free hit, is just to absolutely nail the captain. But It can go very wrong, can't it? But also, there's a lack of alternatives because, I mean, like we've mentioned, you know, the Saka. If you're going to captain an Arsenal player, it's probably Saka. But, you know, he's limped off, you know, several games. So just a little colder on Saka than I'd normally be. And then you've mentioned Eze because he probably is the next best attacker. That I suppose the other way to do it would be to, if you look at someone like Gabriel, this is probably what, like, absolutely wild. But
I'll go Salah. I mean, I can't do Gabriel over Salah.
And this is where you come around in a circle and just end up back at Salah anyway, despite the doubts.
So, Rich, what I suggest is you move your mic a little bit further away from me.
Yeah, okay. I'll turn it down even more, actually.
And I will come closer. I'm literally speaking into the mic. So,
thing is, I don't know if it is as bad as last week, but...
Okay. It's fine.
I've turned mine down quite a bit now. So instead of going further away.
Yeah, that's fine. I think yours is further down. So maybe people can adjust their volume. Apologies for this. We're trying to reset things. Obviously, Andy Mode came last week and he's basically reset everything and we'll just blame him.
Yeah. I was going to say it's not Andy's fault, but it clearly is.
It is. We'll blame him. So look, I think on Liverpool, we've talked about it enough. I think it's a gamble to go for any pick. I think if you're on a free hit or if you're not on a free hit, obviously Salah is still the safest pick. Captaincy, we'll discuss again before the end. Second pick, who would, if you were on a free hit, who would your second pick be?
As in my second Liverpool pick?
Yeah, as in attacking pick.
Oh, attack.
Or would you go double defence?
See, I find the defenders a lot more interesting. As in, I mean, I would have Van Dijk. And then Robertson and Trent, they have appeal. I mean, they've both been subbed off. I think Robertson feels a lot less risky than Trent. Trent feels just that a lot more fun. I actually wouldn't knock anyone if they went for any of them. You know, if we don't get any quotes coming out, I mean, I do think it's unlikely Trent plays both. But then we didn't think he'd play 45 minutes, you know, at the weekend. And he managed it when Bradley came off injured.
Yeah,
he's managed, what was it, 70 minutes tonight?
71 minutes.
Yeah.
But he looked knackered. After the 65th minute, I was watching him very closely. Mm. He was not running. Like, I was just watching Trent to see, is he tracking back? Is he not? He was so tired that maybe 70 minutes does it. And now he gets another couple of days rest. And then he plays another 70 minutes. And then he gets another couple of days rest. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the way. But there is definitely a risk that Gomez starts one.
It's so weird that he's played longer than Salah. I just can't get my head around that. But yeah,
it's the timing of the substitutions, right? They only have three windows to make the subs, and so I think when he was making the attacking subs, he just decided to do Salah, and because Diaz was also on a yellow card, so he had to remove Diaz and someone else to get Jota and Darwin. So I guess that's the logic, and obviously Gakpo played the full 90, if I see it correctly, because I don't see a Gakpo start, or maybe a second, maybe in the next game. So not in the next one over the weekend, but maybe the midweek. But I still like Darwin. And I know creators just love Darwin for no reason. Look, his underlying data is still good. And now we're purely saying in terms of minutes, I definitely see Darwin starting one, having not started today. So you're basically starting from a baseline of one start minimum. And because he got a nice rest today, maybe that one start means 70, 80 minutes instead of 60 minutes, but what it would have been. And then the second game is a cameo. Or maybe you get lucky. Maybe there's an injury. Maybe there's something happens and he starts the second game. So I just think you can get lucky if you go Darwin. Because next game will be Salah, Darwin, and someone else. Probably Diaz. But could it be Jota? Maybe. So I'm just... I'm trying to play in my head. Maybe I already own Darwin, but I still think between the three, in terms of minutes, maybe Darwin is the second best, but then Diaz is close as well, because I know Klopp loves Diaz.
Darwin's the most confusing pick because, yeah, I think you're right. The base is he will start one. I hadn't really thought of it like that. I mean, in my head, I was thinking he doesn't start both. And he has had a lot of early subs. I think in the last five or six, he's been subbed off like
60-ish.
Yeah, exactly, which isn't great. Although when a lot of us bought him, you know, when we did that fateful Watkins to Darwin move, he was getting those kind of minutes back then as well. So, I mean, that's not really changed. I think also the Haaland injury is interesting because then, you know, if we don't get any news on Haaland, there might be people that would you rather have a risk on Haaland? You know, he might not even play one game, or he might play a game against Brighton, or would you move it to Darwin? Because I think in my mind, I was thinking Haaland would get 90 minutes. Now, obviously, because of the injury, I'm not thinking that anymore. But, and I was thinking Darwin got about 100. So they felt quite close, those two. But maybe that gap's opened a little bit, as in Darwin probably is a better pick than Haaland.
Well, I just think something to note on Haaland. Obviously, they play the FA Cup game on the weekend, right? So they play on Saturday, the FA Cup game. And then on Thursday, they will have the Brighton game. So there's a huge gap between whenever Haaland said he's tired, which was Tuesday, to the Brighton game, which is Thursday. So let's say we hear something on Saturday that he's on the bench or he's starting. I think it's fine. I think we're good. So I'm personally looking to keep Haaland, unless we hear something that he's out of the squad or there's something that's happened, in which case there's other contingencies, which we will talk about when we come to our team.
That's a good point. It's a shame it's at home. As in, if it was in London, you know, I'd feel a bit more confident because we'd be able to actually see if he travelled, for example.
You mean the FA Cup game?
The FA Cup game, yeah.
I think we'll know. I mean, I know last week some of the leaks were wrong and stuff like that, but I think we'll find out because it's also a late deadline, right, for FPL. It's a 1:30 p.m. UK deadline.
Very true.
So I think we should know if he's starting or if he's on the bench or not in the squad, hopefully.
I mean, just one final thing on Darwin from me. I think if I had him, I'd be happy I have him. It's just having the decision, and Free Hitters have got this decision, you know, whether you bother, you know, going for him. Because I do feel like I do prefer, obviously, I do prefer Solanke. Because again, like we mentioned, I mean, he's 90 minutes on penalties and it's against, you know, a team who are knackered in Aston Villa. Not that it needed that narrative to go Solanke. I do feel a lot more comfortable on Mateta just because I know I only bought him because he was cheap, but Palace fans seem confident, you know, he's going to get good minutes. And he has got good minutes. So you see, he seems pretty nailed on to start both. Although I'd never thought I'd be debating, would you rather have Mateta or Darwin?
I just think it's for free hitters especially, that's not an if, right? I mean, I think most free hitters have Mateta.
Yeah.
It's a question of which three Liverpool. And I keep coming back to that. And let's move on from Liverpool then.
Who would your three be, Praz?
I mean, I would still say Salah, Robbo, and I'd maybe be tempted by Trent. I should say Van Dijk. I know my head is saying Van Dijk, Robertson, Van Dijk, and Salah, but that just seems so bland, right? Having Van Dijk, Robertson, and Salah as your three. So I just think you can do a third flair pick, and that flair pick could be a striker in Darwin, it could be Diaz, or it could be Trent. I think that could make sense.
The thing with Van Dijk, we talked about it briefly on Scoutcast, but his goal threat is, I mean, we actually thought it was better than Trent. It's not. But it's actually not much worse, like goal threat. Obviously, Trent, you're getting assists and you're getting, you know, a bonus magnet if you're getting the minutes, of course. So there is, and I mean, you had him during the last double as well, you know, that, and he was on a streak then as well. He scored in a couple of games, didn't he? He hit the bar in the first game of the double. I mean, he is capable, especially, it seems to be, again, it's a narrative, but, you know, in the bigger games, where, I mean, I think Liverpool have just gone out now. So this is like literally their season, every single game. I can make it seem more fun to myself because, yeah, I would go Van Dijk, Salah, and I think I'll be with you on Robertson, but I think it could be very easy to go Robertson and Van Dijk and instantly regret not going Darwin.
And Trent.
And Trent, yeah. I mean, that's what I am worried. There's going to be a lot of a lot of hindsight.
A lot of regret. I think you can increase your volume a little more.
Okay. We're going to get this. We are going to get this.
Yeah, we will get there.
Okay.
So because people are saying you're even lower than me now.
I knew this would happen. I'm not going to get a job as an audio tech, Fraz.
Okay, so Liverpool, I think the summary is, guys, we don't know. Sorry. After Salah, we don't know. If you want to be boring, then Robertson and Van Dijk. If you want to be flair, then Trent and Darwin or Diaz. Or even Jota. But I can't see Jota starting both. He's starting one, missing the other, and starting maybe the one after. There's no chance he starts two in a row. He hasn't started, you know. So I don't know. That would be our recommendation.
The fun way to spin it is there's loads of Liverpool options, as in there are literally six or seven. You can include Alisson, you know, players you could pick. And I know a lot of people like to have, you know, a clear template. Well, we're all going for these three, but I guess at the end of the season, like we said, you might be trying to chase. So
yeah,
you could even take that into account. I mean, Van Dijk's
I don't hate Trent, to be honest. Maybe you get 260 minutes, 65 minutes. It's wonderful.
I wouldn't knock any of these picks. Andy Mode, I think he's gone off it a little bit. He did mention McAllister earlier in the week. I don't love it. I wouldn't do it. But I can see, you know, if you're thinking Salah might get slightly reduced minutes, for example, he's got a small window where he might be on penalties. His numbers have improved, but I think it would be a bit boring. That's the Van Dijk pick in midfield, isn't it, really? But yeah, should we move on to your
let's
team?
Let's go. Let's go Arsenal, and then let's do Palace, yes. And then we can do our teams. I think if that works well. So Arsenal, I think, is much more straightforward.
Agreed.
Because despite people going back to this Saka narrative of no big chances over the last four or five, I think Saka and Gabriel, for me, no doubts about it.
Great.
So I think that's fine. I think it's about the third pick. And I think the third pick is also straightforward. There's not much in it between Havertz, Saliba, Raya, Odegaard. Just pick the guy who you think fits in your structure. I said this on the wire, I'm not 100% after Havertz has started the last few that he starts both of the next games, because Arsenal's schedule also similarly, two-day gap, then they play. So you just never know, even though Jesus has been terrible, he could very well start one game. So I'm happy having Saliba as the third, and I think you're in the same boat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, with my team, yeah, I'm over the moon having Saliba. I was thinking earlier, what would I do if I was free hitting? I think the sensible play would still be go for Saliba, but I probably, knowing me, I'd want to try and enjoy it more and go for Ben White, which probably isn't that much more exciting. And I mean, there are benefits, like when he gets subbed off early, you know, he gets the clean sheet, but you do lose, you know, if Arsenal keep a clean sheet, that's going to cost him bonus points.
Correct.
And there's a small chance he gets benched. I mean, I don't think he will be, but it's a bigger chance than Saliba. So yeah, I'd either go for third one. Yeah, Saliba, White, or I like Odegaard over Havertz. I think you made a good point on Havertz minutes. Again, there's congested schedule. I think I would go Odegaard if I wanted to go for the double attack. But I mean, me and you, we've been locked into double defence so long. It's all I can think about. And if you're bringing in just Gabriel, you want Arsenal to concede. And I hate that. So yeah.
There's no right answer for Arsenal's third pick as well. Look, I think Odegaard, I slightly disagree on that one, because I think in some of the predictions, Odegaard has some penalty share or whatever. I don't know how much that is there. I think there is the upside of Havertz starting up top in a game where Jesus is not starting. So I slightly like Havertz more, but then his minutes are worse than Odegaard, just in my view.
No, you're probably right. You are right, I think Odegaard's minutes are okay. Again, bonus. I mean, this is, you know, a 1 week punt. I know it's a double, and I would go for the defender. I think I'll just feel more safe going Odegaard. And I know, in a lot of models, there's the pen share, but he's much better at bonus points, for example. And to be honest, a lot of those model picks seem to be really good at bonus, like Douglas Luiz, Pascal Gross, Odegaard, those kind of players. So maybe that's factored into some. But yeah, I've waffled on, but I'd go double defence still.
Yep. Look, so I don't hate it. I don't hate people going for a second attacker. Let's move to Palace. I think Palace more clear cut, right? Mateta, Eze number one, Mateta number two, third. What?
It's Elise for me. But Elise? I mean, I've got that bias, and we still don't know about his minutes. I actually bought Sarabia to stop because I thought I wouldn't. I thought Elise wouldn't be fit for two in the double, but the minutes he's got in the last two makes me think there's a chance. That he gets 70 or something in both, but I mean, it's not guaranteed.
That's
what 70 in both.
I think that's the base case for me. I mean, you know, FPL Wilson is the guy on Palace, and he thinks he starts both and gets 60, 70 minutes, which I think is not bad compared to, you know, the Diazes or the Jotas of this world who we're comparing him against. But then the question is, again, if you're on a free hit, would you just go for the defender in Munoz because the clean sheet odds are okay? Like they're the third best. And also you get some attacking threat and you don't have a minutes concern that you have with Dulise.
But then you get the people saying that Mitchell's short-term stats are slightly better than Munoz's. And obviously it is over a short
term. But XA, not XG, right?
Not XG. No, you're more likely to get the goal from Munoz. I mean, I think because I've looked at free hits and I've always gone double Arsenal defence if I'd gone for it, that's probably another reason I don't care too much about Munoz, because I'll probably go the two Arsenal defenders and Van Dijk, Robertson, whoever. So I've never really had the spot for him. And it's a good shout on Wilson as well, actually. I would trust his minutes, because I did speak to him about Mateta a few weeks ago, and there were a few people saying, well, Mateta's not nailed because Edouard's back. And he was adamant that, yeah, Mateta is, you know, nailed in this team.
Oh, he looks so good against Liverpool. He's so good.
He does. He does. Even because I watched the game they played against Bournemouth. I watched it in full. And even defensively, like, he's incredible, you know, defending corners and stuff. So I could see he probably adds a lot. I know that doesn't help for FPL defending corners, but that must be part of what, you know, why he trusts him. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I keep moving it on to Mateta, and I don't mean to.
No. I wish I could get... I mean, if Haaland is out, then Haaland to Mateta is like a no-brainer move for me. Even if it means I need to play Zabarni, because I'll come to my team, but then that would be my move. But I just can't get to him because I have Solanke and I have Haaland. Mm-hmm. And who's my third striker?
Oh, Darwin.
And Darwin.
You've,
so I have
you've
no
forgotten
space.
Him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm not counting him. So anyway, that's why I don't think that it's an option. I can't get to Mateta. But if it was, then maybe I would make a different decision today if I was choosing between Darwin and Mateta. Maybe.
Yeah, but Palace, I mean, we're talking about the attack and we've obviously gone through Rob T's numbers already. But the good thing with them is they've got the minutes, even though maybe they've not got the... I mean, still, three goals, you know, in a game week's still a decent share.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
sometimes strange things happen. You mentioned about getting lucky, you know, with things like with Darwin. I mean, you know, West Ham just played tonight. West Ham could get a red card and, you know, these things can go way off piste. So...
Correct. So I think not much in it personally between Mitchell, Olise and Munoz or even Henderson. There's a shout out for Henderson in the chat because you love your keepers.
Yeah, I do. You know, that is actually one I'm jealous of. And maybe if I was free hitting, yeah, you do have to consider Henderson.
Yeah. I just think attacking threat, you take Munoz as attacking threat, unless you're going double Palace defense, which doesn't make sense to me. I think Henderson, okay pick, but I wouldn't do it on a free hit.
We did talk a little bit before we started recording, didn't we, about, I think before we saw these odds of Palace scoring three goals, I think in our heads, we both thought that Palace would be projected to score more. And I do think that's going round that Palace are, you know, going to, and I guess it's because West Ham are bad defensively, apologies, are bad defensively, and so are Newcastle. And both games
West
are
West Ham just kept out Leverkusen for like 80 minutes.
I know. And Newcastle back to back clean sheets.
Newcastle are not bad. These are not easy games. We have it in our head that Newcastle are bad travelers. They are. And West Ham can be a little bit hot and cold. You don't know which West Ham you'll get on the day. But they're not. It's not Sheffield United and Luton like Bournemouth had, right? I mean, sometimes we become a little. I mean, free hitters are very excited with Palace assets because not many people have a lot of Palace. So their differentials are having three Palace. But they're. It's an okay double. It's worth attacking. It's probably the best out of the lot, but it's not a banker. It's not like the Bournemouth double of 28.
No, and that kind of loops back with our captaincy discussion earlier, doesn't it? Where we were saying, you know, you get quite quickly to Eze as maybe the third best captain option, and it's not
It's not great. A home run.
No, it's not. It's not. There's no bankers here. But that's why we sound so indecisive, yes. And why free hitters seem so indecisive. Which is going to make for an interesting week. So they're the first three. I mean, Bournemouth. We kind of touched on them already. I mean, Solanke is a no-brainer.
And no one else.
But obviously, some of us have got stuck with defenders. And I guess we'll get onto that when we get onto our team dilemmas, because that might come into a fair bit of that as well.
Did you have any thoughts on Cunha versus Mateta?
I prefer Mateta. And this was a decision I had 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago I had to make. And a big reason was that Wolves play Arsenal. That's a large reason. Cunha, the goals were good. I mean, the first goal was incredible, but very bad defending. And the second one was a tap-in. I think Mateta for me, I think it's not even that close. Like, I do quite like Cunha, and if I was free hitting, he could be the third striker if you don't fancy Darwin, but I don't love it.
I'd still go Darwin. I take 110 minutes of Darwin over any striker who's playing Arsenal as one of their double gimmicks.
To be fair, on free hit, I would be the same. I'd be the same.
or Diaz. I mean, let's not reopen the Liverpool debate, but basically I'd go for a Liverpool attacker over a Cunha. But here's my last question before we get to our teams. So most free hits are 3 Crystal Palace, 3 Arsenal, 3 Liverpool. Forget about the combinations. We've talked about those players. I think the 10th player is Solanke.
Yes.
And definitely we would recommend that. Who would your 11th player be? It could be Brereton Diaz from Sheffield United. It could be Pickford. It could be Cunha. It could be... I guess those are the options, right? This is where people are going.
I think for me it would be the keeper. And because I know I talked about Henderson earlier, but obviously I'd want the Palace outfielders. So I think it would just be Pickford by default. Yeah, I think it would be Pickford and it is literally just by default. Two home games, obviously one of them's Liverpool. Mm. That's the boring answer, isn't it? But I've seen a lot of really good managers. They like Brereton Diaz. I don't love it because, I mean, the Sheffield United fans I've spoken to are adamant McBurnie's on penalties. They're absolutely adamant.
Okay, and that's good information.
Yeah. And why would you... I mean, he's on loan as well, isn't he, Brereton Diaz? So if they get relegated, I don't think he's going to want to go back to the Championship. I mean, this is just a thought. I don't know. They might have a buy clause in the loan. I have probably not researched it enough. There's no loyalty there, is there? Why would they give him penalties when... You know, McBurnie's been such a loyal servant. So, we've just seen they've been bad. Like, I know they did well. They played well, didn't they, in that game against Luton after Luton had a good win and they played well. But I'm not seeing much outside of that. He's out of position. But, I really don't love it. But then Elise could be seen as a punt by most. But I'd much rather have Elise than him. I mean, I'm between
Pickford and Diaz. Look, I understand. It's a punt, but it's a punt for your 11th pick.
I get it. Yeah.
So it's not somebody who you and I would pick, but for a free hitter, it's a bit like the Flair Ilanga pick that Gaming 29ers had or something like that. It can sometimes work out. And Pan says in the chat, McNeil, okay as well as a midfield punt. So I think there are some players on the periphery, which is the 11th free hit pick, which is your complete differential for free hitters. Go and enjoy it. I mean, for us, that differential was Reguilon. You got slapped in the face in Game Week 29 for that differential. Maybe this one works out, and maybe it's that one pick that sometimes makes the difference between a successful free hit and not. So I think there's no advice there. Just pick who people sort of have their gut feel on.
No, it's a good point. It is a good point. Maybe I'll become really boring. It's just one of those things. I don't like to big up every pick. And so I've seen going around that I personally wouldn't go for.
Fair enough. We're supposed to give our honest view. So yeah. if you're not hot on him, especially without pens, I get it.
But to be honest, I'm not backtracking, but if he scored, I wouldn't be shocked. It wouldn't be like, oh my God, I've got this so wrong. It's a lot of these are personal preference in such a dead double game week. You know, it's such a tricky...
I'm looking on the website, basically. Now we're doing some Diaz propaganda. But look at his XGI against Brentford, 0.53. XGI against Chelsea, 0.55. Liverpool, okay, 0. Fulham at home, 1.52, where he scored the brace. So in the last 4 games, he's basically got 2.5 XGI. It's not too bad.
I can't argue with that. They're good numbers. They are good numbers. I just, yeah. It just,
I would have liked pens to add to this, but there are no pens. So
I think
or maybe perhaps not.
I mean, it just seems like there's managers like Tomo. He seems absolutely adamant. I saw a couple of discussions where Sheffield United fans were just like, no, it's McBurnie. And I mean, it kind of, you know, I'm not a Sheffield United fan at all. I haven't looked into it, but it just kind of makes sense why it would be McBurnie. And I mean, the odds of Sheffield United actually getting a penalty, they're not that high, are they? But
I mean, Man United are terrible and Burnley are terrible. So you never know.
This is another thing. I've seen a lot of Man United fans like the Diaz pick. And maybe that's like reverse bias. Like, I know you've not been great recently.
We've just watched our team too often.
I still wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't see a Sheffield. I wouldn't be like, I see Old Trafford and be like, I have to get a Sheffield United player. Do you see what I mean?
Of course. If you didn't have a double, we're not picking any of them.
No, I get that. But yeah. So yeah, mine would be Pickford because that's fun.
Leo Gomez says, is Kluivert a good punt? I just don't like their two away games. Like, Solanke is good because he'll get minutes and he'll get pens. I don't think you want to double up on Bournemouth attack away to Wolves and away to Villa.
Not on purpose. I mean, obviously there's people who've got Bournemouth players left over from the last double, but...
Which is fine.
I wouldn't actively be seeking them out, to be honest.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's move on.
That's all the doublers, really, isn't it? We covered McNeil. Yeah, so let's go to your team first.
Okay, so my team is Neto in goal, Gabriel and Saliba in defence. I'll come to my third defender in a second. Then Eze, Salah and Saka in midfield. I'll come to my fourth midfielder. And then Darwin, Solanke and Haaland. So, you know, basically two free transfers. I need to change Son into a midfielder. I need to change Richards into a defender. I'm assuming Richards is out, which let's use that as the base assumption. And I'm assuming here that Haaland is fit. Now, if Haaland isn't fit, then I think Haaland to Mateta and Son to Diaz, and I'm done. Because then I'll play Zabarni as my third defender.
And when you say Diaz, you mean the Liverpool one, right?
The Liverpool one, yeah. Okay. Because that'll be my three Liverpool. So that's my three Liverpool sorted. Mm-hmm. That's my two good... Palace attackers sorted. So that would be it. But I'm assuming Haaland is fit. So in this case, my options are Son and Richards to someone and someone. So two options. It could be Son to Olise and Richards to a Liverpool defender. Could be Trent, but my head says Robertson. Mm-hmm. Or the other option is basically Richards to Munoz.
Yeah,
who knows, isn't it? The midfielder would be a Liverpool midfielder in Diaz or Jota. So basically, the option one was Richards to Trent and Son to Olise. So that's my Palace third and my Liverpool third. And option two is Son to Diaz or Jota and Richards to Munoz. So basically, those are the two options I'm playing there.
I love the Olise one.
so Trent and Olise. Problem is both are minutes risks.
I mean, it could be Robertson though, couldn't it? It could be Van Dijk. So it's Liverpool defender and Olise.
I like that one. Look, let's see where we are on Saturday. If we get any hints or even from the press conference that Olise is starting, then I am tempted by that because those are the upside picks, right? Trent or Robertson and Olise feel like good upside picks. Whereas Diaz and Munoz feel like two picks that could be good, but I'm not expecting too much.
I mean, they're huge upside picks. I mean, yeah, if you had Trent and Olise and you're adding them to the rest, I mean, you've got players like Darwin, who is, you know, again, he's an upside pick. I mean, even having Haaland, like, we don't know what's going to happen there, but yeah, it's actually made me quite like Darwin. Just seeing your team actually, like, yeah, I think that's a good Liverpool triple up as well. If you have Van Dijk, Salah and Darwin, I still think I prefer Mateta, but I could be very jealous the second deadline hits. It's just...
That's because Olise played for Reading, that's it.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, that's the only reason, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that doesn't apply to others. I think Mateta's better than Olise, so that's not a debate.
You're right. For minutes, yeah. You're absolutely nailed on there. But it's just, I mean, if Olise does then get good minutes...
Olise does have hauls in him. I mean, he's got, I think, two or three double-digit hauls this season. So he does get double returns in games if he's on it.
and his attacking data. I know it's quite a small sample. Like, as in, when we go back to when he was at Reading, he had a lot of assists and a couple of wonder goals. Like, that's, he was a creator basically, and that's why I was surprised when he signed for Palace that Gallagher was taking all the set pieces. I was like, Elise is incredible on set pieces. But he seems to have added this season, just looking at the numbers and watching him, you know, he's actually scoring goals, good goals. It's still up in the air if he's on penalties or not. I actually spoke to Wilson about this. Last week, he was very confident it was Eze, and then he's done a complete 180 and he's not sure. So I admire his honesty.
So he says it could be Ulisse.
Yeah, he wasn't sure. He explained to me.
Oh my God, this would do it for me. I'm going to talk to him.
He wasn't sure. Yeah, no, you definitely should. Because he explained, I think, so when Ulisse took the penalty, though, the confusion was that Eze had just come back from an injury, so he'd just come onto the pitch. Ulisse took it. So that's where the doubt is, and he hasn't ruled it out. And I mean, maybe he was just trying to get me to buy Ulisse. It could have literally been.
He's pushing me for Ulisse as well. So,
well, there you go. Maybe he's got an agenda here, and he's top.
I mean, if he's picking him, then obviously he can use it.
Yeah, he's more biased than me though with Ulisse now. He's long gone from Reading, but
that's true. So captaincy on Salah still, because I had said before this match that if Salah plays under 90 minutes, he'll still be my captain. So I'm gonna sleep on it Saturday morning, unless I change my mind. I'm still gonna be. I just think I'll hate myself. If Salah gets a brace and I'm not Captain Salah, who is the best captain pick this week, I'll hate myself more than if I pick Salah and he does nothing and Eze scores 10 points. I think I'll hate myself more if I don't Captain Salah and he does well.
I get it. I do get it. Because then you're wildcarding next week and all you'll be thinking about, even if you have green arrows throughout, you'll just be thinking about going against Salah. And then maybe all summer as well, you'll be thinking about going against Salah. Exactly. So yeah,
you have to believe, you have to stay true to the manager you are. And as of now, my minutes radar tells me Salah will start both games because he was off at the 60th minute today. So I have to go with Salah.
But the vice is on Eze. So let's say you didn't go Salah.
I think I'm closer to Eze as the second. I'm not feeling Saka as much. I don't know why. Maybe I need to think about that.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there. I mean, it's just been, he's been limping off. Like several games, he's limped off. Yeah. I don't know if he limped off last night.
No, he was fine. We were actually watching. Corey on Twitter and I, basically, we had a thing on what time does he limps off. And my guess was 5 minutes after they go behind. And it didn't happen. So I was actually watching him. He didn't limp yesterday.
So he's due a limp during the and you don't want that during the double, do you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So we move on to my team. To be honest, our dilemma's quite similar. Our teams are quite similar. So I'll just read my team out briefly. So I've got Neto, Gabriel, Saliba, and Zabani. So I'll talk about him in a second. So I've got Sarabia. I mean, you were talking about your punt. That's the one I'm stuck with. Right. I've got Salah captain, Saka vice. Son will become someone. I've got Haaland, Solanke, and Mateta. So my initial thought was, I mean, if Bradley wasn't injured, I was literally just going to roll him out and pray. But obviously he's out injured now and Trent's back. So that's not happening. So Powell or Bradley will become probably Van Dijk. I'm a little bit tempted with Robertson, but only a little bit tempted with Robertson.
Oh, so you have Van Dijk over Robbo and Trent?
At the moment. This is me when I'm being sensible midweek. Who knows what happens at the actual deadline. we haven't even managed to have time to talk about, I messaged you about buying Rico Lewis minutes before the deadline, but and then the other move was Son to Eze or Ulisse. I'm almost certain it's going to be Eze, like almost certain. I've been thinking about it a lot this week and it just makes too much sense.
Sensible.
So that'll be my moves. The only thing is, if Haaland is out, I might just play Zabani. I can do Haaland. Well, this is two things I could do. I could do Haaland to Darwin, which I don't love, and then Son to Eze. Or I could do Palmer and Son to Eze and Ulisse. And I'll play a 3-5-2. So I'd have Solanke and Mateta up top. And then obviously, and then Zabani would have to play in midfield.
Yeah.
The only thing putting me off this is I'd have to sell Palmer, who obviously we've owned him since he was, 4.9.
Yeah, so I'd that's lose a big loss.
0.6 I'd lose. I mean, so I need to have a look at my wildcard 35. Because we should mention we're both wildcard in the 35, because I want to see exactly what I want to have to see if that money's going to cost me at any point. You know, yes, is that yes. going to cost me getting salary in game week 38 or something? If it wasn't for the money I held in Parma, I think I'd definitely go at Elise and Eze, just go for the triple attack.
So you're okay not going for a third Liverpool, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I could do it, couldn't I? I could do, you know, Haaland to Darwin and then bring in Van Dijk, for example. Or I could bring in Luis Diaz for Son. Yeah. Yeah, sorry,
no,
Bradley.
You can't, because you'll have four then.
I'd have to... No, so I could do one of the two. Bradley would have to go to a defender. Yeah, that would then be a hit.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm kind of comfortable not having three. Like, I'd prioritise Eze over Luis Diaz or Jota, for example.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
So I don't think going Bradley, I mean, it's cost me points, but I don't think it's blocking me from anything. If I was on free hit, I'd 100% go for three. You kind of got to. It's Liverpool in a double, but there's gambling, as we've talked about already.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right, long one, but I think it deserved it after a lot of new information. I'm going to ask you one couple of last questions, because there's not everyone who's either on free hit or dead ending. People are not comfortable benching Palmer, but some people have to play him or have to play him as part of a bench boost. What's your view on Palmer?
I mean, it's the hardest fixture you can have, isn't it? It's away to Arsenal. Yes, Arsenal just, you know, had a bad result midweek. Well, and last weekend as well, but it's still the hardest fixture you can have. So, no, I think it's an easy bench. I mean, I guess one scenario I've thought about is, let's say you were gambling on Haaland starting for your non-free hit team, and then Palmer comes in, you know, if Haaland doesn't play. Then
so
it's,
would you
it's
have Palmer over Zabarni?
Personally, probably not. I probably would go for the doubler. Because I know the dub. So with Zabarni, I've been thinking about this. He's projected to get quite low points.
Yeah.
But
basically
because
two
it's
blanks.
Basically, yeah, very low. But because it's a double, I guess the height, and I'm talking about the absolute peak.
Oh, no.
It's
no
a lot.
We can't give him a goal chance. We got 1 in 1,000 event. We can't count on that again.
But even like 2 clean sheets and some bonus, you know, that can add up. And I know I'm getting carried away here, but this, you know, the absolute top of what he can do.
Yeah,
a bit like
Palmer can score a hat-trick.
Well, oh yeah, or 4 goals. Yeah, that's very true. But it's a double.
I might play Palmer over Zabarni, I think.
If you start Haaland and Jimenez as a first.
If Haaland doesn't show up, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I have to sell Haaland, then I'll have to play Zabarni because I need a third defender.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing. You don't want to be rolling out 4 defenders this week by choice.
By choice, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I think you would agree about benching Palmer.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. But I also think if somebody's bench boosting and he's your only singler, or him or Haaland are your 2 singlers, you have a doubling keeper and another bench player who has a double, it's okay. It's not the end of the world.
I'd love to see what his EO is. I imagine it would
be like 20%.
Yeah, you're probably right. There was a player a few weeks ago, a template player who plummeted during a bad fixture.
Watkins.
That was it. It was Watkins, wasn't it? Yeah. So people are engaged.
Watch Eze this week. He was 4% last week. He's going to be 90%.
That's another reason I don't want to gamble on Elise if I don't go for Eze, because
he's going to be big.
Opening yourself for pain. Yeah, I mean, if you don't captain him, he might not even care if he scores.
That's why you need a second attacker.
Yeah. And what was all the right, other... Do you have another question? If not, don't worry.
Non-free hitters. No, I think we've covered it all. I think this was longer than usual, but... We always do it, but no, thank you everybody for joining. Sorry for the sound issues.
Yeah, I will get these issues sorted for next week, and I'll listen back. And to be honest, people have stopped complaining about it as much, so maybe we've got it, or maybe it was all a wind up, and I'm just now really quiet, and they just wanted to hear you, Praz. I'm actually on mute right now. All right,
no, all right, man.
All right, well, I'll see you in a couple of weeks, and good luck to everyone in the double.
Good luck, everyone.